Blog Talk Radio.
You know, the dogs and the chickens and the lions. Must be time.
Why are you
coming? And now it's time for another episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Brain Injury Radio is sponsored by the TBI Support Network.
Find them on the web at www.tbisn.com.
And now, Brain Injury Radio.
And now the best to Brain Injury Radio.
Please be advised this is pre-programmed and thank you for listening to Brain Injury Radio.
Well, hi there and happy hump night from somewhere in middle America. That is not a new intro. In fact, that was a spoof intro made one summer many years ago. And there's a lot of us that are dog lovers here on the network, and Craig was screwing around as he often does and made that one. And I saw it when I was booking the show the other day and decided to put it in. Well, Karen knows, you know, and I haven't posted it yet, but I might as well say it here. I had dog on my mind. Many of you know that I lost one of my dogs coming up on 3 months ago, and no other dog ever replaces another. They all have their own unique personalities. It's like a kid, a person, anything else. But anyway, Benny was one of a kind. I still really miss him a lot. But come our youngest, as some of you might have seen on Facebook, is Tino, who is part miniature dachshund and part chihuahua. So he's a chiweenie. And we're going to be having a new baby coming home a week from this Friday on the 17th. And it's a miniature, purebred miniature dachshund. And his name is Eddie. And I found out about it a few weeks ago, and I joked to Karen that I haven't been able to stalk him because he's an hour and a half away. So it's been something to have made this decision and to not get it now. Ever relate to that about anything? When practicing patience? Anyway, so Eddie is going to be coming, and we're excited about that. He'll top off at about 11 pounds like Tino, and I'm hoping we'll have a smooth adjustment and they'll be fast friends. Being the same size, Tino will have someone to play with. Libby and Benny were about 28 pounds, and so there'll be a little shift. And one of the things I noticed as I age, that last month, I was having to carry Benny up and down the steps to take him out, and that was hard. I've got stenosis and some other problems with my back and spine, and not only was it excruciating to watch that last few months, but to physically feel it and then physically suffer with it afterwards. So hopefully Gary and I can handle a couple of 10-pound dogs as we're aging out. And anyway, long story around that opener, but it does lead me to say, because time is limited, that, you know, he founded the network and has been paying for it 13, 14 years. A lot of that through his band work. And COVID decimated the band in more than one way. And you can get a pen, V-T-H-E-E, the letter R, insane, VRinsane.com. Very important in the here and now to have that. They were working on their It was going to be their final tour pre-COVID, and it was the equivalent of a 3-album set they were working on in the studio. And with God's grace, they did get the 3 albums done. But then a couple things happened. COVID happened, and so the tour, which is really where bands make their money, the tours were all canceled back in 2020. And then the band consisted of 3 of them, Craig and another guitarist, Curly, and the drummer. I'm sorry, I can't think of her name, beautiful young lady. Curly caught COVID and died. And so it turned out to be quite prophetic that it was their quote-unquote final tour. And in fact, it was, and more so for Curly and the band. So it'll be one band that's not reuniting. And so Craig, I saw, made an announcement on Facebook that he's going to open up all that music for free downloads, and then he's going to take it down, and when the music's gone, the music's gone. That's where his head is with it right now. So if you're interested, I've been talking to you a little bit in the last few months about buying, if you want to support the network, and going to theareinsane.com. Checking out the music and maybe buying a tune or two, but at this point he's being generous enough that you can get free download of any songs that you like, and then it's coming down, and the only place you'll ever hear any of that music is if we play it here on the network. So just wanted to throw that out there, because he actually posted that message not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, I think, and so I'm not sure when that whole thing is coming down and not going to be available anymore, but I looked today, and I know that it still is. So again, it's THEE, the letter R, insane.com, theareinsane.com, and they did about, I don't know, 6-7 albums before that. There's a ton of music there, so I want to thank TBI Survivor Network /Craig/TheAreInsane for keeping us on the air all of these years. And he's going to continue to do that. It wasn't just touring and the band, but a lot of it is and was. And so huge part of his life, of our life, and just thought I would mention it. Anyway, I'm your regular Wednesday host, Kim Justice. With Recovery Now, and I play a generic intro on the second Wednesday of every month when I am blessed to have a wonderful co-host with me. For those of you who are new around here, I'm going to talk about my general blurb, and then I'll get into specifics about both Karen Robinson and what we'll be talking about tonight. But Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a We Recovery program, because it is in the We that we find the new me. We focus on the 4 A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers, and for that, it takes a good bit warrior. Again, I'm Kim Justice. If you want to know more about me, you can check out my website, inaflash.org. And for my co-host, Karen, and her wonderful blogs and resources and another talent we're going to talk about tonight, you can see her website, and that is hopetbi.com. I'm going to be bringing her on in 1 second. Tonight we're going to be discussing neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, which is a psychological approach that involves analyzing strategies used by individuals who apply them to reach a personal goal. It relates to thoughts, language, and patterns of learned through experience to specific outcomes. Neuro-linguistic programming is an approach that focuses on how you communicate with yourself and others and how this affects your behavior and outcomes. Now, a couple different sources. NLP has really been around since it was pioneered. I told Karen I was going to look that up. It was either 20, 30 years ago, and it's become popular. It became popular in pop motivation, leadership, healing through a celebrity. And like many of the recovery tools that we've discussed, there are parts of this program, as well as DBT, CBT, EMDR, all the things that we've discussed, that when you take what you like and what works for you, you can really build a set of tools that helps you stay stable and helps you enhance the quality of your life. And Karen's going to be talking about that more. And she is actually trained, has gone through a program and is actually certified to do, I'm going to let her speak to that herself, neuro-linguistic programming. But, and I'm not sure which of these she might go through, and I'm not going to go through them right now. I'm going to wait and bring her on. But depending on where you read, there are either 5 or 6 different sources that talk about 5 or 6 different tools involved in NLP that help people to map their unproductive patterns that make them feel stuck and write a new map that replaces those with empowering habits and effective strategies. So, cool topic, and I'm excited. I didn't realize, or if I knew, I won't make excuses. Somebody said to me the other night, it was actually interesting, I don't think that I do this a lot. I mean, a lot of us talk about having a brain injury moment, and we kind of do that in the trades, not as an excuse, I don't think. I never meant it to be. Other people make mistakes all the time that don't have a brain injury, and I don't know what they call it, a mistake. But another survivor said to me a couple weeks ago, and I had just made a comment lightly like what I just did, and he must have been in a mood or something. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he must have been in a mood, because he said something about me making excuses. And it wasn't even about anything. I made a mistake, and I said I had a brain injury moment. And it is what it is. Not, like I said, it wasn't meant to be an excuse, and I don't use that a lot. But it is what it is. We do what we do. So anyway, with that, I'm going to bring on Karen Robinson and bring some sense to all of this. And the reason I haven't, it was a secret about Eddie. That's why nobody's seen any photos of Eddie. It's been one of those I'll believe it when I see it kind of things. So come a week from Friday, when he is actually a new member of our household, then I will start posing. No, he'll be posing. I'll be posting pictures. And with that, I'm going to bring on Karen.
Good
Karen,
evening,
welcome
Kim. What
to
is
the show.
What is here this evening?
I'm glad to have you be here this evening. If you don't mind, I see that an unfamiliar number has put their hand up. on the panel, and maybe before we get started with our topic, I will answer the call. See what we got.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not Michael.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
hey,
area code 505.
You.
Who's this?
This is Woody. I have a huge heart.
No, you don't. Saw that coming a mile away, baby. Check out. Okay, Karen. You know, you should not call in Wednesdays. I've been doing this every week for 12-plus years, and I smell those things coming. And give me, what was that old name, that tune? Give me three chords or less. And
yeah, no
anyway.
Pun intended.
Yeah, it was a troll, ladies and gentlemen. That happens from time to time, and it's been interesting in our past, not our past right now, but the network's past, that in the early days and with some new hosts or ones that maybe aren't as tuned into this sort of thing as I am, this horseplay that people get into that don't have something better to do with their life, is we had one host once, God bless her, and got a call like that, and she was so shocked, she froze like a deer in the headlights and just let the person keep talking, and it was horrible. You might imagine what the rest of that sentence might have been and what it might have gone off into. You couldn't read anything like it in Hustler. You know, in the forum, it was so bad. And she froze and didn't hang up, or I put that person in the green room there talking to themselves. So I found that that buys a little more time. If you just hang up, they know that they've been hung up on, and they call right back like they just did with a different number. Another good trick. I love that. And you know that it's them when they call right back with a different number. Technology is such an interesting thing these days. Anyway, yeah, so that was an embarrassing moment. So if there's any other hosts that are listening, I'll encourage you. One of the most sage things, and I train you all, that I tell you that you shouldn't forget is keep your finger on the trigger when you answer calls you don't recognize. And be prepared to move quickly, like you just hit a hot stove with your finger, and put them in the green room or hang up. We don't want that on the air. Okay, Karen, welcome. Thank you for being here. We'll go back to where we were before.
Oh, you know, that's just a different type of linguistics, but not where we're what we're discussing for this evening. We'll save that for another topic.
Yeah, good idea.
Oh,
good idea. Well, it did talk about behaviors and people and being where, getting to where you wanted to go, that sort of thing. And that's, you know, that's a naughty behavior and probably not where you want to go. You know, when grown-ups are making prank phone calls, pornographic prank phone calls to a help support recovery show, it's like, what, did they have a power outage at TikTok tonight? You know, what, can't get on Facebook?
Oh my goodness.
Probably in Facebook jail, so they're out trolling the network. But anyway, tell us a little bit about, I'm interested, like I said, I either knew no excuses and forgot, or I didn't know. I don't know. But now that you have informed me, for either the first or second time, I want to hear a little bit about, certainly talk about what you've got, you know, about neurolinguistic programming, but just as a little bit of background, I'd like to know how you got interested in it and decided to go about getting certified. And is that, well, of course, it's difficult. Anything new is difficult, but is that a process that takes about how long of a commitment do you have to make? I suppose it depends on which program you get into or whatever, and I'm not asking anything about money. People can look that up on their own, but just kind of the background of doing that, what stimulated your interest, how you got turned on to it, and then what made you decide to actually go through a program and kind of what that briefly, what that entailed to become certified, because I thought that was really cool. She's actually a certified coach, able to do a practitioner of NLP. So this time we can't say that, we can say that we're not doctors or lawyers and we're just sharing our personal experience, give the appropriate disclaimer. But she's actually gone a step further on our topic tonight. So do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
No, I don't mind at all. Well,
cool. Go.
You got to keep in mind there, Kim, that, you know, I have a brain injury too, so you just peppered me with a litany of questions. So let me start one at a time.
Yes.
Not a problem. There's a lot to cover, you know, and there's a lot to discuss and all very good questions. I guess if we're going to start anywhere, we should probably start at the beginning. That's where all great things form, is with a thought and collaboration and knowledge and coordination, right? So when was NLP created? Well, NLP, first of all, stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And NLP coaching is something that a coach would incorporate as a strategy as part of their coaching, hence the neuro-linguistic programming coaching. Now, the coaching piece is suitable for everyone who wants to make a change, to improve themselves, or generally wants to achieve more in their life. And it is something that can essentially assist a person in helping them stay motivated longer, over longer periods of time, and it really helps support that individual in meeting their goals. Now, when we talk about NLP, the reason I was attracted to it was because I've been very interested in neuroscience, especially since the accident, trying to learn different ways I can help do coordinated therapy with the rehabilitation and recovery of my cognitive challenges and the brain injury and just controlling my pain, managing my symptoms overall. And I like science. I like studying medicine. I like holistic medicine. I like being able to do things for myself and taking a little bit more ownership of my own care. And so all of those things were really interesting to me. And when I was introduced to NLP or neurolinguistic programming, it incorporated a lot of those things that I was interested in. The N stands for neuro, referring to the mind, the brain, and the body. Neuro incorporates not only the mental, but the emotional components of neurology. And the L stands for linguistic. That's the language of the individual. Each of us has our own language. And the language you use to communicate with others, but not just with others, but also with yourself, that's the linguistic part. And then P, that stands for programming. Now, that's not to be associated with brainwashing. Sometimes people might associate that word, especially older generations, with brainwashing. And that's not what we're referring to here when we're talking about programming. We're talking about our mental tapes to ourselves. By being able to use language to help people tap into essentially a deeper level of empowerment and attaining results for themselves. Now, programming is just another way to say being able to utilize our past experiences, our thoughts, and our emotions, and how they affect all areas of our lives through our feelings, reactions, beliefs, values, and traditions, and using those things to be able to help ourselves attain those specific goals. And working with a coach who is trained in NLP practices allows there to be an ability of flow between not just NLP, but multiple techniques and models, utilizing specific things and specific communication through incorporating those neuro and linguistic collaborations as tools that can benefit the person that's utilizing those. Now, as far as history of NLP, the original form of today's NLP was created actually back in the early 70s. Richard Bandler, who was a student at the University of California.
Great.
Yeah. I believe it was Santa Cruz. He met John Grinder, who was an assistant professor of linguistics.
Exactly.
Now, Grinder.
Thank you.
Now, Grinder, he was very particular. I remember you asking me their names. Grinder was particularly interested in teaching methods, and he was able to consult with and meet Richard Bandler, and they were able to combine their experience and knowledge and essentially created a collaboration between the two of them that allowed them to question why some well-known psychotherapists had so much success in their work with their patients and how that success was based and how were they accomplishing that. And while at the same time, many others who treated the same patients with the same disorders, they didn't succeed in bringing about such dramatic changes. Well, they developed a hypothesis that assumed that similar patterns of behavior that have become well known today as NLP created some of those possibilities by changing some of those strategies, and how they collaborated with involving the functions of our nervous system, hence the brain, spinal cord, and senses. And it's really about perceiving more precisely and being able to change some of those unwanted feelings or patterns of behavior within ourselves and changing those in a targeted manner. And because we utilize our brains, which is like essentially the computer of our body, then how could we program, if you will, when you use that word, or instead of program, you could say, how could we challenge ourselves to direct our thinking in a different direction? So we were able to encourage motivation within ourselves and to allow ourselves to be able to manage the outcomes and achieve the goals we wanted to accomplish. And so that's where it all started from, and it just developed into, you know, as all things evolve, then in the 80s, it branched off into basically some different sub-modalities, and those were invented. And then in 1988, a gentleman named Tad James developed a timeline therapy, and that got evolved and was also combined with the works of Grinder and Bandler. And so there wasn't just two people that incorporated the involvement of NLP, but they were the brainchild folks of that process.
Yes.
Does that answer those two questions for you?
No, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. And I don't see anything wrong with the word programming. You know, in this day and age right now, people might think of it as indoctrination and take it out of context from what it is. But in my experience, I needed to learn to let go of some of my old ideas to make room for some new tools. So in a way, I had to deprogram, if I choose to use that word or not, you know, deprogram some of my old ideas and be willing to let go of those and not get stuck in that loop and be willing and open to some new ideas and, in a sense, reprogram my mind. So I don't take that as being derogatory. I can understand why some people might, in this period of time with things going on around us, but point taken. It's just another tool in the coach's arrows in their quiver to help people reach their goals and overcome thought processes that aren't productive and that are hurtful. You know, I've spent a little time this week in some, and I'm just going to leave it at this, I've spent a little time in a couple recovery groups this week, and and we've also, you know, heard the suicide rates. You know, we used to only hear about it from 22 a day for veterans, and then we started hearing about the largest demographic, I think, right now is kids between the ages of 9 and 15. There's been a skyrocket of that happening in that group. And then people in general, you know, it's been a really difficult couple of years. And so I don't think, you know, we can even limit it to veterans. It's terrifying with the kids being the age that they are, but anybody, you know, and when you get stuck in a negative thought pattern and can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, or you're not equipped with the tools, which I wasn't equipped, you know, for a long time. I repeat that my initial injury was in 1995 when they didn't make internet yet and they didn't have social media yet. Some of that's good in some ways, not so good in others, because I wasn't connecting with anyone else. And nobody, you know, no therapist that I saw at the time really knew anything about brain injury. They were doing traditional kinds of talk therapy. And there is something freeing, you know, once I got here and was around other people who had experienced the same things, gone through the same things, and there was some ability to be able to identify, you know, with other people and know you're not alone. That's a huge piece right there, because it's the isolation and the aloneness and the not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and being in a stuck negative thought pattern that has people make a permanent solution to what very well might have been a temporary problem if they would have had the right tools and given it the time and the sweat equity with those tools to work their way out of that negative thought pattern. Because I'm not saying it can happen for everyone, but it sure could for a lot more people than are able or aware of these things to be able to give them a chance. I know they've been a lifesaver for me over the years, discovering these new tools. So I yeah, no, I think it's a good explanation. All of it was a good explanation of what it is.
I guess if we took all that and put it into one sentence, we could just say that it is an attitude and a methodology of knowing how to achieve your goals and get results. And
yep.
Essentially, it's widely used nowadays, not just in a person's personal improvement life, but it's also used by corporations. It's used to improve management, sales. It's improved to use achievement and performance. It's not only great for using in educational and career development courses, but it's also really helpful for being able to develop rapport with students and parents or to aid in student motivation. So there's a really broad opportunity where NLP really comes into play and can benefit a variety of participants. So it's not just for coaches and coachees. However, it is something that can be incorporated into different styles of living. And it's essentially a modeling system. You know, mm-hmm. I find myself with my kids saying to my oldest, you know, you're an example for your younger siblings. And that goes all the way down the line from sibling to sibling. You're modeling certain behavior. You're modeling certain things that they're going to pick up on and they're going to act in that way because they see you doing it. Well, the same goes for ourselves. We can model negative habits and negative behaviors even to ourselves. And the nice thing about working with neurolinguistic programming as a modeling system is that the neuro part of the name is there because it identifies all those experiences that we've processed through the neurology of our brain. And when we're using linguistics and those self-taught words that we've spoken in our mind to ourselves, and we use those words that represent our internal representation of that neurology, then we're able to change our habitual patterns or change the way we model behavior and model the way we think to ourselves. And when you're able to do that for yourself, it allows you to be able to manage a vast array of things in your life, whether that's being able to manage my own pain, whether that's being able to reduce my anxiety or to be able to manage fears or phobias. And the way I do that for myself is I use guided meditation. I use NLP exercises. And meditation is just one of those ways that I utilize to be able to relax and release tension in my body. And so it has a lot of opportunity to impact different parts of a person's life. I mean, you can incorporate NLP into pretty much any topic that you want to set goals and improve on, and you can create a care plan around that topic and goals to help you get those things accomplished and to change your mindset and your habits around actually getting those goals accomplished. So again, going back to that basic sentence of it's an attitude and a methodology of knowing how to achieve your goals and actually get the results that you're looking for.
That's assuming you know what your goals are. There must be something that you work with. With coaching in general, there's a lot of different kinds of coaches out there right now. I wondered if some of them help. Some people might not know what their goals are exactly. Like, say immediately, after a brain injury. I know I didn't. I had been in a career where I had goals for quarter of a century, you know, 25 years of goals within that industry. And then, you know, after the brain injury, when my world got turned upside down, I went back into that environment. I didn't operate the same as I did before, and it wasn't going to be a good outcome if I stayed for a few different reasons. And so at that moment, in that dark place, I wasn't really sure what the goal was going to be, because the goals were going to have to change from what they were before. And I think we all go through that at the beginning, at least, if not other, at different touchstones in our life. But early after our brain injury, I've got Minnesota Matt. A lot of you know Minnesota Matt, and I'm not gonna go into his business like that, but I'm just saying he's a good example. He got in a horrible accident and sustained another very bad brain injury that he's recovering from. And, you know, he had had one before. That's how we met him many years ago. And goals is going to be something he's going to be looking at again, because the goals that he was, any of us, me, I'm not picking on Matt. I'm just using him as an example of one of us who's recently gone through something that is going to need to reassess the goals. But I guess however you get to the point where you've got new goals to visualize that you want, even if it's getting out of bed in the morning, you know, because sometimes in the beginning after brain injury, you wonder if you want to do that, you know, or how you're going to do that. Get out of bed in the morning and function with whatever's on your list of things to do. And you maybe used to be able to accomplish everything on your to-do list, and now you're lucky if you can read it, you know, not upside down. And so so once we've established goals, new goals, then this will help us get there.
Absolutely. But not everyone who comes to for example, a certified life coach or an NLP practitioner, not everyone knows what their goals are when they start. A lot
right.
of times someone might come into the relationship just knowing that they want to seek clarity about a specific topic or a decision. Or maybe they're committed to making an effort or change in their life, but they're not really sure of which direction they want to head in or which goals to even establish at that point. You know, and the nice thing about working with a coach is that you're able to have that person help you define those aspects of your life that you're interested in bettering. And with any kind of support system, you're going to have that coach be able to ask you powerful questions and help guide you on that process. Now, as far as a go ahead. I heard a breath.
Perceptive. I was just going to say, have you had a therapist before? Ever
yes,
in your life?
I'm
not
still
getting
have
too
one,
personal.
Actually.
Okay, good.
For the last eight years since the accident.
Okay, I've been kind of a lifer, but one thing that I don't care for about that, I was just looking for a little clarity or opinion maybe about, it seems like the people that I've had therapy with, it's mostly me talking and it sound, let me, I want to say it different, more generously, but it sounds like you get, you can expect to get some more feedback and interaction with a coach than you do perhaps your therapist, who maybe asks open-ended questions for you to think of it yourself. I mean, I very seldom asked a direct question without having them say, what do you think? Well, I was thinking I wanted to have a dialogue with someone.
I understand.
I'm sorry. Go
well,
on.
there's a distinct difference, though, between coaching and therapy. And I think that a lot of people get that confused. They think that, you know, oh, I'm going to go to a life coach and tell them all my problems and they'll help me solve all of them. And, you know, I want to make it really clear that a life coach is not a therapist. Now, there are some therapists that are have also embarked and taken and completed life coach training. However, coaches who have had no therapeutic training and don't operate a therapeutic practice. I am not a therapist. And overall, life coaching is different than therapy. Although life coaching and therapy can complement each other, life coaching is not a substitute for those who need therapy. And through coaching, essentially you're developing strategic actions and plans that help you move forward in your life. Typically, with therapy, therapy works at dealing with your past. Coaching is helping you focus on your future. And through coaching, it helps you to, it does not attempt to explain your behaviors. Coaching doesn't delve into your past. It doesn't diagnose clients. It doesn't even identify pathology. And coaching does not prevent, it doesn't cure, it doesn't treat any mental disorders or medical diseases. That's important to note as well. And it's important that if a person has a counselor, oftentimes a coach will want permission or want to work in collaboration with the counselor so they're not stepping on each other's toes and they're supporting the support that that person's getting from the counselor as well. And one of the most important distinguishing factors between counselors and coaches is that counselors and therapists are trained to diagnose a mental illness and treat mental illnesses. I know you were mentioning suicide earlier as part of your comments, but coaches are not. Coaches do not diagnose or treat mental illness. And therapists and counselors help people address and resolve problems that really just make them feel bad emotionally, that make them feel depressed, or that's impairing their ability to function well from day to day. And the focus on therapy is more on healing from the past and dealing with those past issues. And it's understood that unless those problems are resolved, it's often difficult for people to make significant changes in their lives. So therapy has its place. You know, I don't discourage therapy for anyone that needs it.
No,
Once a person's feeling more stronger and more confident, then absolutely, they should absolutely start taking action to change their circumstances. Now, where coaches come in handy, okay, so what's the purpose of a coach then? The therapist sounds like it covers everything. Well, here's where coaches can help. Coaches help people achieve their goals. The basic presumption of a coach is that for a coach is that their client is in a good place mentally and emotionally. That doesn't mean they're void of any mental or emotional challenges. That just means it's being managed, or they're in a place of getting it managed, and they're ready to receive guidance and instruction on how to make changes that will help them achieve their goals. Now, the work of a coach really focuses on creating and maintaining that motivation for change, not for the person, but helping them learn how to maintain that motivation for themselves. It really just encourages them to explore what the obstacles are that are holding them up from that change, and supports them in creating plans for those changes. And coaching is more about getting you where you want to be next, not delving or digging into the past. And so those are some things to keep in mind with the differences between coaching and therapy. Now, as a coach, I have referred folks to, or, you know, it's like not to any specific therapist. Usually if I know the area they're from, I can refer them to a, like here in this state, it would be like 211, where they can call and get resources for help. Or, for example, the crisis text line or the suicide hotline. You know, anything that might come up in a coaching session that meets the needs of having a therapist be involved, then I'm going to, you know, strongly suggest to my client that they may benefit more from therapy than from coaching at this time, you know, and and then go from there. But again, when a client is, and, you know, another thing that I look for is if a client's not making progress and it appears that the topic they've brought to the table seems to be more related to an internal psychological dysfunction, where a therapist might be able to guide them, and that seems more appropriate, then there's been times when I've told a client, hey, listen, coaching is not, does not seem like it's going to be a good fit for you right now. And that's okay. That's not saying you can't come back to coaching later. However, I think you would benefit more from a therapist. And just being able to feel comfortable enough to have those candid conversations with your clients is really important as well.
I think so too. Well, you know, I just thought, I know we hadn't really talked about talking about that, but I think that it's a good to distinguish kind of who does what, you know, and where, when you would look for a coach and when it might be something to take up with your therapist and what the differences are and that kind of thing. So thanks for making those explanations. I think everybody finds that helpful. Assumedly,
well,
we're all trying to make a better
know,
life. And, you know, we hear about, like I say, we just hear about coaches now, and not everybody knows the difference between the therapist and the coach, because I've heard a couple of the other coaches I know that I don't know that they know NLP, but say the same thing. You know, people are confused sometimes about who does what, and they're coming with mental health issues to a coach because they met him or heard him on the radio or saw a podcast or, you know, whatever, and liked that person. So they're coming to them as if they were a therapist, and that's not what they're doing. In fact, the one I was talking to is a leadership coach. So she's strictly working with people really about finding employment is what she specializes in coaching for. And so obviously when she was getting the phone calls that are more mental health related and doing the same thing you were talking about, and a good coach will do that, will do this, refer you on to the right purview for your issue if it's not something that they're as suited to help with. You know, a coach is, seems to me more specific in the goals and not, like you said, your past and mental health issues as much as working on goals. And then the person kind of becomes like the coach that we think of with sports. You know, a lot of times it's hard to get motivated on your own. Say you get that goal or you divine these goals, but you don't know how to quite go about doing it, how to get there. And, you know, very few people start out of the gate without making mistakes or, you know, take being a radio host. We'll just use an example. You know, everybody, when we started, there were 7 hosts for 7 nights a week, and none of us were trained. Craig kind of threw us in the water and expected us to swim, and I didn't really have any, well, none of us had any experience doing anything to do with radio, but we were at different degrees of not being that tech savvy either. And you've got to be both to do that. And then working the studio, like my call dropped, and thank you for picking it up without missing a beat. Skype dropped my call a few minutes ago. And, you know, in that first year, we all made every mistake that you could possibly make. Now, in our case, we didn't need a coach at that moment, so it might not be a good example, because there were 7 of us doing the same thing at the same time for the first time. Well, except Craig. There were 6 of us doing the same thing for the first time. And so we kind of helped each other through that. But, you know, now that we've got a lot more and we're not having, like, weekly meetings, you can't get 20 people together like you could 7, you know, there are people who set the goal that they'd like to be a host on the network, and then something like, well, that's 2 things right there tonight that would have scared off or have scared off in the past people who would be great new hosts, and that's having their call dropped in the middle of the show or having a troll call in and throwing them off their stride if that's what happened. And in the beginning, it did with all of us because we didn't know that they existed. So it took some learning the hard way, and I just think, you know, with a coach, you're going to have, again, correct me if I'm wrong, and then we'll go back to some specifics of NLP, but, you know, with a coach, I think that's going to be somebody who's going to help keep you motivated and encourage you not to quit, maybe see, help you see how you could have done something differently, or perhaps you didn't even know need to know how to do it differently. Perhaps you just need to know that mistakes and frustration are part of learning something new and not a reason to quit. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not suited yet to doing that goal because a couple things like what just happened. You know what I mean? Now, it might be that the rest of the skill set's not there, and maybe that's not the right place for somebody to be. But they shouldn't, it would be unfortunate if a potentially good host was scared off by some technical difficulties happening, you know, like happened to in the first hour tonight, you know. I mean, and they did. They've left. Over those kind of things before, and it seems that, you know, I've tried to pick up that role for people, but it's hard to do a weekly show recruit, hire, and train all of our 20 hosts, juggle all the balls that I'm juggling, and then some things that got trouble tonight. Maybe it's payback from that troll. I wonder if they have supernatural abilities. This is really weird. Well, if it keeps doing this, I'll call in on my own phone. Just a second.
Yeah,
here.
One thing I wanted to just clarify for you is that when someone should seek out therapy, I know there's probably a lot of listeners who've heard us talking about, okay, well, you covered the differences between coaching and therapy, but what kinds of things would you refer out for therapy? You know, and they might be wondering, hey, is my thing one of those things? So let me just cover some real quick basic things that I would refer out. Before you even decide to go with a life coach, these are some things you want to evaluate in yourself. If you feel incapacitated or you're having an inability to function in daily life, like mentally incapacitated, then that's a time when you should consider seeking out therapy. If you're having panic attacks that are causing you harm or requiring you to be hospitalized, if you're having suicidal thoughts, if you have a history or tendency or actively suicidal, if you've been diagnosed as a psychopath or sociopath, if you're having thoughts of harming others, if you're looking for treatment based on childhood traumas, how to leave or deal with a volatile relationship, you're in a domestic violence relationship, or how to heal past relationship traumas. Those are things that you should consider seeking out therapy for. Now, if you have an issue that you've been referred to counseling for, then definitely that's something you should seek out therapy for. Can we coach someone undergoing therapy? Yeah, absolutely, if they're mentally stable. But that's not up to us to determine if they're mentally stable as coaches. That's up to the counselors. Now, that's why if someone's working with a counselor or a therapist, we like to be able to get their permission or clearance for that client to also work with the coach. Now, can some people not even tell us they're working with a therapist? Yeah, that happens. They could deny they're working with a therapist. But what's the point, and what are you going to get out of seeking a coaching relationship if you're not going to start off with authenticity and honesty? What are you really going to gain from the experience at that point? So, you know, that's something to keep in mind when you're talking about that.
Exactly. Well, there's no reason to hide it. They serve a different function. So, yeah, no. Point taken.
I
was thinking last.
I mentioned earlier that. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Last week I did an interview. You know, it was Marilyn Monroe's birthday last week. June 1st is Marilyn Monroe's birthday, and we're coming up on the, 60 years since she died. So people wanted to know, did she have a brain injury? One thing I want to clarify on Brain Injury Radio is the only requirement is that the hosts have a brain injury. Obviously, because of the network, we talk predominantly about things that have to do with brain injury and recovery, but we're also not defined by our injury, and so any host can talk about any topic they want to at any time, and it might not directly be brain injury related. But anyway, I was kind of interested. I've been around for a long time, and you know, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding Marilyn's death, so I was interested in having this guest on the show. And an example, you know, Marilyn might have needed an acting coach, perhaps. She also really wanted, she had a goal something she really, really wanted, but she grew up in very bad circumstances. She was in a number of orphan homes, had gone through abuse, a lot of strikes against her at trying to achieve this goal. So she worked extra, had to work extra hard to overcome some of her challenges earlier on, and, you know, did singing, did dancing, did acting, several other things, you know, and she probably needed a coach for each of those things. But at the same time, her mother, and the reason why she got into the system, had a mental illness, and Marilyn had a mental illness, and Marilyn took a lot of prescription drugs. And today, we'd probably put a doctor in jail for the amount of barbiturates in her case that were being prescribed to her. And obviously there you got a couple differences. There's somebody who might have been, if there was a coach at the time, and I think there probably was in things like singing, dancing, acting, that kind of thing, or someone comparable to a coach, but they wouldn't have been dealing with the issues in her personal life. There's someone who would have needed a mental health, a responsible mental health practitioner to help with those issues, and a coach to help her perfect her craft to help her reach the goals that she so desperately wanted. So there's and there would be no reason to not be honest about it, you know, to either party, you know, whether it was the mental health care professional or the coach. I don't think that people that are in either of those businesses should be judgmental to the extent that you'd be able to see it or pick up on that vibe. And if they were, I'd go to someone else. So I think Karen's right. It's good to start off being honest, because that's going to be an undercurrent in everything that you do moving forward, and can really be a self-sabotaging behavior that you would want to not do. But anyway, that's just a really obvious example, extreme example of how someone might need two different kinds of help. They would still need a coach, because in the midst of mental health and everything else that was going on, she had a very powerful goal and was willing to go to great lengths to do it. But it had to be hard to get motivated sometimes, because she was accused of casting couch, dumb blonde, the things that, you know, those things that she would get. And she actually really worked her ass off to try to prove herself. There was a part of her pathology that was, had a real need to be a people pleaser. So she really wasn't ego-driven as much as desperately having a goal and wanting to be a people pleaser. So, you know, she did take the time and the investment in herself to learn these different things. And so I think that, I don't really know anyone I've ever met, maybe there's a couple of them, that were just fundamentally spiritual people who stayed in their lane their entire life. Those are really hard to find, you know. But others, you know, everybody probably has a game-changing event for them that goes on in their life, whether it's a death in the family, a divorce, loss of a job, things that are going on now that, you know, it's a good idea to talk to a therapist about. At the same time, if you're going to make a change in your life, and you just are timid or don't know which way to go about it, it would be great to have a coach, someone who's been trained in maybe making a roadmap, like I said in the beginning, helping you design a roadmap that gets you pointed in the right direction to be able to meet those goals and maybe help you troubleshoot what obstacles there might be and how you can work through those obstacles. And I think we probably are an answer to your deal. I don't feel like typing it, but I think Ron said that too. And then I had the trouble with Skype. So I think there's some technical difficulty going on in the background audience. So anyway, we're still rolling. Yes, I do want you to do a guided meditation tonight, but I'm wondering, we have like 48 minutes left. I wondered if you wanted to end with that. Yours might be different, and I've not done it before with you, heard it before, but we used to have a host that did guided meditation. He was in hypnosis. He wasn't trying to hypnotize us, but, you know, he did guided imagery, and it got people so relaxed that some people fell asleep. So I didn't know if you wanted to talk a little bit before you do it, or you think that it would be, how long is the guided imagery, and do you think it would be good to do it now and then talk about it, or do you want to talk a little bit more about NLP and then make sure we leave the time for you to do the guided meditation? That way, if anyone nods off, they're not going to miss anything we have to say, because we'd be going out with it. It doesn't matter to me how we do it. But yes, I do want you to do that tonight. I think that's really cool. And we don't even have to go through the others and the program. Going back to the program that you went through, the things that I knew of from the people in the 70s, and then looking at a couple of the other ones, you talked about modeling, and I told people that there are five or six depending on what sources that you look at, but you know, modeling was one, mirroring is one, incantations is one, NLP, some call it switch, some call it swish, and then imagery training. So I did ask Karen before, and she was probably just watching the clock, if she would go through one of the guided imagery with us. And the purpose of that, I think, well, you can say what you think the purpose of it is, but to me, it helps clear my mind of minutia that's getting in the way, getting in the way of the clarity I need to be more focused to go toward my goal. And when I've done guided meditation before, I've liked the practice of it because it's helped me feel more confident and energetic, I think, by really being able to focus on what the person's saying and participate in that imagery than some of the garbage that gets in the way I'm actually not aware of when I'm going through those exercises. So the more that I'd participate in something like that, I think the more focus and clarity ultimately that there would be. But it's just my personal feeling on what I've gotten out of imagery before. What is it in NLP meditation, something similar to that or something else?
Well, everybody takes from a guided meditation. It's all individualistic, what they get out of it or what they don't get out of it. It all depends on the person giving the guided meditation, and it depends on what it's for. Some take guided meditation for inability to sleep or being able to work with reducing their insomnia. Other people are taking guided meditation for weight loss goals or finance, you know, managing their finances. So it really just depends on what you're focused on and what your goal is with that particular guided meditation or what you're incorporating as. Based on what you and I have been talking about for the past few weeks, I decided to go ahead and guide us into one that involves releasing tension and stress and maybe reducing some anxiety. There's been a lot of tension in our world right now and in our communities and, you know, with different shootings across the nation and different financial stress, gas prices soaring, and there's so many things we don't have time to list all of them.
No kidding.
But I wanted to keep it general and just keep it just very general and overall vague to give people a sense of what it could entail or what it could, you know, what it would sound like or, you know, as a topic.
Good.
So when we're talking
about
meditation, one of the most common misconceptions that I really want to do a mythbuster on is that one of the common misconceptions, rather, holding back the widespread adoption of meditation into the Western healthcare system is that meditation is either seen in some way as a religious activity of some kind, and that's not necessarily the sum of it. Do some religious sects embrace a form of meditation or prayer as part of their doctrine? Yes, they do. Can you embrace meditation or goal imagery without religion being attached to it? Yes, you can. In truth, meditation, especially as it's used today, Kim, it's simply just an exercise to strengthen the brain. And meditation has been scientifically proven to improve not only physical, but mental health as well. And so that's just a misconception I wanted to get out of the way right away so people can have a more open mind when they're hearing me talk about specifically meditation or guided meditation.
Yeah, no, I think it's good that you do. I've never associated with it with religion myself, but I'm sure some people do who've had a religion that where they meditate. But for me, it was always a tool, a recovery tool that had nothing to do with religion. I couldn't seem to find help there. I found God someplace else, but no, meditation is more of a relaxation technique for me. My introduction to meditation kind of came with yoga. And it wasn't in a religious environment. But I think that's a good distinction to make, because if anybody thinks that is the case, it's not. Look at it as any other tool that we talk about on the program. It is what it is, but good. Well, why don't you do that? I think that's a great topic too. Everybody could, in general, as you say, there is a lot of anxiety and stress mounting just when we thought one thing was enough. As you say, there's about 25 of those things on the list now. It ain't getting any easier, it doesn't seem. And so, you know, if we thought we were going to get a break, I guess we're going to make the break if we're going to have one. because it doesn't appear that there's one coming real soon from outside ourselves. And so this kind of thing is always helpful, but particularly helpful in the framework that you're doing it in this time, and to be able to replicate it as we go along.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I can do is I can go ahead and get started with everybody. And I do want to let everyone know that there will be moments where I pause and that I'm silent for a few moments. That doesn't mean that I've disconnected or I'm not here any longer. I'm just going to give some quiet moments for time to reflect. But I will continue talking throughout the course of the guided meditation, hence it being called guided, because I'm going to guide you from the beginning of it to the end of it. Are you ready for me to begin that, Kim?
I am.
Okay, fantastic. First, I would like to thank all of you who are listening for, and thank you, Kim, for allowing me to take you on this guided meditation. This meditation is designed to help you stay focused and centered while giving yourself permission to reduce your anxiety and release your tension when things are not necessarily going your way. Now, I'd like you to get comfortable. Get comfortable in your position and relax. Take a deep cleansing breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. If you are comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes. Place your feet flat on the floor, really feeling your feet in contact with the ground underneath you. Now, if you are laying down, that's okay. Be mindful of where your body is, where your feet are, and what they are touching. Ever you feel coming up inside of you, as far as emotions or thoughts, just acknowledge it and allow it to be. Give yourself permission to just listen and feel your breath. I'd like you to start by focusing on the top of your head. Begin by remembering a time when you were completely relaxed and you knew, you just knew that everything was okay. Allow yourself to experience it as if that is happening right now. How does your body feel to be so relaxed and calm? What is it you see or hear that makes you feel so relaxed? What are you saying to yourself to make sure you remain calm? Now it's time to relax your neck and your jaw muscles. Take a deep breath in. And as you breathe out, let go of any tension you're holding in your neck and jaw. Feel the shape of your neck, the line of your jaw, and give yourself permission to let the tension go. Now, it's time to relax your shoulders, arms, and hands. lift your shoulders up into a shrug as you take a deep breath in, and then lower them as you exhale, and allow them to release completely. Allow your hands to feel relaxed and heavy. Be aware of the heaviness of your arms and your shoulders, releasing their tension. Wonderful. You're doing well. Remember that time you felt relaxed? I invite you to now remember a time that made you feel at peace. Where is it in your body that you feel centered and confident and relaxed and at peace? Begin to notice any tension or tightness you may have in your back. Breathe in deeply. Imagine your breath going to the full length of your back. Let your breath cover your entire back. As you breathe out, slowly relax just a little more and release any tension you may have in your back by giving your muscles permission to gently let go and rest. Next, relax your hips. Your buttocks and your pelvic area. Just allow the whole weight of your body to be supported by whatever your body is on, whether a chair or a bed. As you feel your body get heavier, know you have the ability to make incredible decisions. You have the ability to make incredible choices and the ability to let go of tension. You have the ability to find peace. You have the ability to relax and let go wherever that may be inside of you. Now turn your attention to your thigh muscles. Remember, let any thoughts you may have float up and away from you, and let any stress or discomfort flow down and away from your body. Down and away from your body. Bring your attention now to your shins and calf muscles. Feel feel them soften and become loose while blending their calmness into your knees, which may be straight or maybe slightly bent. Take a deep breath. And relax your ankles. Allow yourself to be aware of your ankles, their shape, how they move, how they feel in this moment. And just guide them to just relax and be still. Finally, we focus on your toes. Allow yourself to be aware of your toes. Them up. And then release, scrunch, and then release. If you're unable to move your toes, that's okay. Just send the thought of relaxation to your toes and to your feet. I invite you to be aware and accept how you're feeling right now. There is no right or wrong way to feel in this moment. Don't try to change it or do anything. You may find you can relax even more once you start allowing yourself to just be. Allow any remaining tension to flow out of you. And out through the bottom of your feet, flowing away from your body. Wonderful. Now, take a few more deep breaths and enjoy this feeling of relaxation and calm for just a little while longer. You will hear a longer pause of silence so you can take a few breaths. You are here now, giving yourself permission to forgive yourself, to accept yourself just as you are, to love yourself as you are in this very moment. You allow yourself to be wrapped with a blanket of warm calm as you allow yourself to be at peace. You have ever it takes to be at peace right now, to relax right now. to let go of your anxiety right now. You have all the strength you need right now inside you. You have the ability to find your voice, ability to have peace, the ability to relax into that calm. Your emotions are yours, and it is okay to be yourself. Give yourself permission to feel safe, to feel okay in this very moment. You may start to feel lighter. You may start to not feel as heavy. You may start to feel energized. You may start to feel more aware of your body and recognizing all that you are and all that you are becoming. I'd like you to now slowly bring your attention back to the room and where you are at. Begin noticing the sounds around you and take another breath. Breathing in peace and calm, breathing out anxiety and tension. And when you're ready, if your eyes are closed, open your eyes. Enjoy this newfound feeling of calm and ease. Take time to recognize that you have the power to give yourself peace. You are all that you can imagine and more. You are capable of letting go of some of that tension and have a few moments of release and peace. I am Karen Robinson of Vital Ability LLC and HopeTBI.com. And this has been my sincere pleasure to share this guided meditation with you. And I would ask you to take a moment, examine how you are feeling. What did this bring up for you? Thank you. And that is a guided meditation, Kim.
Thank you, Karen. That's relaxing, really relaxing, and I appreciate doing the, I appreciate you doing it, thank you, but also a reminder to do the body scan. I can't be the only one. I know that I'm not terminally unique, so any issue I have, I know that other people have it too, and one of the things in your meditation that came to my mind, particularly with anxiety and, you know, the kind of the context of your meditation, is that I often am wearing my shoulders around my ears and not breathing, breathing more shallow. And so, and I've had problems with my jaw since, having a tight jaw since my brain surgery back in 95. So to focus on those things, not in the context that I do sometimes about the pain, but in the release. You know, it started when you talked about the neck and the shoulders and those purposeful deep breaths in between. I just think those are such good reminders to do. I might point out there's a lot of things, audience, that you can do. You can also check out Karen's website, reach out to her. But I think we were about 40 minutes, give or take. You might have to fast forward or rewind a couple more minutes than that. But I think we were at about 40 minutes into the show when she started. And if you want to listen again to the guided meditation, Karen just did, it's on tape. So the show goes on demand within an hour, and it's there forever after. And I felt a lot more relaxed, and like I dumped the stuff of the day. I kind of liken it to, you know, like blowing up a balloon. When you get up in the morning, you start blowing up the balloon until it can be pretty tight later in the day, you know,
right.
or in the evening with the accumulation of the day's stuff. And so I don't know that there's any better or worse time to do this, taking a break to make an appointment with yourself to relax and release any time of the day is a good idea. But I think for me, before I go to sleep would be a really good time to, because I don't know, I'm chasing some kind of demons in my sleep at night, and I don't know why. It's been that way for a long time. When I take that, I call it the Snicker time, because it's if you're old enough to remember the commercial of Snicker time, when was it, like about 4 o'clock, they thought everybody was probably hungry from after lunch, but it not being dinner time yet. And that's kind of my joke for when I need to take a nap, a recharge nap. And, you know, when I fall asleep doing that, and that also conjured that comfort place you were talking about, for some reason, when I do go to sleep in the daytime like that, and I don't always, but when I do, it's the most peaceful sleep that I ever get. For some reason at nighttime, it's not an insomnia thing, but it's like I feel like the whole time I slept at night, I've been at war or something, because I wake up tired and my jaw hurts, and it's not a restorative sleep, I'll put it that way. So for me, the imagery was about the comfort of my my owl blanket, which is odd since they're a night creature. But I've got this owl blanket that was a gift, and I don't use that at night. It's not on the bed, but I call it my nap blanket, and I bring my iPad, which is not the technology. It covers your eyes. And between the owl blanket and the iPad, I just kind of zone out. But that's kind of the feeling that I got after your meditation, was those few times that I get that kind of rejuvenation because of the relaxation and the release from the meditation. So I appreciate you doing that, and I hope that we can incorporate that into our lives on a regular basis. You know, I talk a lot about whether it's therapy or coaching or support group or whatever it is I'm talking about. I put a lot of weight on the fact that if our brain was like a garbage can and every slight, real, or imagined fear, past, regret, any of that stuff, that, you know, we can become, that can become full and overflowing, and that then we're on really thin ice, and we've got to be able to dump the emotional trash. So, you know, for me, one of the tools that I use is a daily inventory. And that's when something just doesn't feel right in an exchange or in any situation. I have to stop and look at, you know, did something happen that I need to address? Do I owe an apology? Am I upset because of something someone else said or did? Or is the weather affecting me? You know, I actually have to stop and take stock, you know, and doing a gratitude list, even if it's mentally five things, just breaking wherever I'm at in my mind. Usually it's when I see something in nature that'll be something I'm grateful for, and that's a trigger that makes me stop and do that exercise. Now, if I was doing this that regularly as the inventory and the gratitude list, it would be a more perfect world for me. So I really appreciate the reminder and the way it helps to have the guided, and you've got a really great voice to do it. But I also appreciated that if I didn't have, you know, the tape with me or you with me, I really like I said, the body, I'm just calling it a body scan approach to it, by focusing on each part of the body, because I think we all get stiff muscles when we're feeling anxiety or panic or something along those lines, you know, whether it's a tight jaw or a stiff back or, you know, stiff neck or headaches. You know, a lot of us out there here, you know, get frequent headaches, and those can radiate down into the neck. And so just another tool, again, a good reminder for me. I'm told that, you know, for all I harp on the drug companies and prescription drugs, I take too much Advil. And it's the Advil that'll probably get me before anything else that I'm worried about. And more exercises like that, I think, would resolve the need for the amount of Advil that I take. I wouldn't have that pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, figured. I
totally relate to that.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure there's others.
Want...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I'm sure there's others out there that can too.
There was another question you asked me. I can't remember if it was before we were on the radio together or after or during the course of the call. But I want to still answer that question. The question was, where can someone receive training or receive more information about NLP or becoming a practitioner or becoming a life coach? I would recommend a training program that is affiliated with the ICF, and that's the International Coach Federation. I'm not saying that there's not other good trainings out there, but the International Coach Federation does hold their coaches up to a high ethical standard, and that's why I've chosen to align myself with that organization. And as far as places you can go to get training or get more information, you can find training programs on the ICF website.
Mm-hmm.
But for NLP specifically, there's three websites I want to share. Now, there's more than these three. A person just has to do a Google search for whatever they're looking for on any topic nowadays. But it's always nice to have someone who knows a little bit about the stuff that
definitely
is being looked up.
Yep.
So I would the three places I would recommend looking into more or exploring more information is the Goal Imagery Institute, and that's goalimageryinstitute.com. And they are a training organization, they teach or train life coaches in a variety of things. They coach on personal branding, coach mentoring, holistic life, career, and executive coach training. And in their coaching, they incorporate, with that specific organization, they incorporate holistic coaching techniques, traditional coaching methods, brain-based coaching, ontological coaching, emotional intelligence or EQ coaching, neuro-linguistic programming, and positive psychology coaching. And they instruct on all those aspects of coaching. And that was where I took my training from. And I was really excited and thrilled that they incorporated all those modalities because I was interested in all those modalities. Now, another place that a person can look for training is called the INLPcenter.org. That's I-N-L as in Lincoln, P as in Paul, center.org. And then the last one I'll give you guys this evening as far as places is NLP.com. And that's a good resource for more information about NLP. And they also provide trainings for NLP practitioners or NLP trainers. And so NLP is just one source of coaching. I do not use only NLP in my coaching. I incorporate a variety of modalities depending on what the client is looking for and depending on what their goals are. The guided meditation that you experienced this evening is just one of those tools we can utilize if the client is specifically interested in that type of coaching strategy. So the coaching sessions are made up of essentially what the client wants. And as a coach, we give suggestions. We pull all these strategies and tools from our toolbox. We always get permission to utilize those specific things with the client. And we're always open for questions, and we're always, you know, looking to improve ourselves, not just as coaches, but as individuals as well. And this has been a great way for me to reinvent myself, since I was not able to return to a traditional work environment after the accident. And in a way, I can still offer value to the global community and into folks that are adapting to life changes and going through transitions after illness and injury. So that is my niche, and I'm happy to offer my services to anyone that's interested.
Yeah, again, check that out at Hope TBI. We've got 2 minutes, so I'm not rushing, just quickly recapping. So I like the first one that you mentioned, where you trained, because it does seem like it offers a bigger toolbox. And I, too, would be interested in that. I've kind of found just in life that there's not one tool, you know, that hits it all for me. So I like that, that it offers more than one thing, and that specifically, if you want to know more about 90 seconds, if you want to know more about MPL, that there's a .com and you can look specifically at that. I also really like and take into account the association that Karen was talking about. In my career before in the medical profession, lawyer, there's a lot of different careers, and the ones who are invested in their professional association are generally those that have a higher stake in what they're doing. And being in the association normally means opportunities for more continuing education and that sort of thing. So I think that's a valuable piece of advice if you're out looking for a coach. But Karen, thank you so much tonight for all of the great information on NLP, and most especially the guided meditation. And I'm really glad, again, if I knew, I'm sorry I forgot, but I'm really glad that we could showcase your training and your skills in doing that, and I hope lots of people will check you out. I'm normally putting down because of your great blogs and resources, but you're one of the biggest and best resources at that site. So thank you so much for being with me tonight. Next week, I'm going to be back with someone actually from my neck of the woods. My guest is a veteran next week who came back with a couple of brain injuries and PTSD. He was gifted a service animal. It motivated him, as many of us have gotten motivated by help someone else has given us along the way. He was gifted a service dog. It made such a difference in his life. I heard about him on the news and reached out. That now he's doing that for other people, and not only other veterans and service animals, companion animals that I've had guests on before in years past, but also his contention and truth is that it affects the family also. And so he also helps provide these dogs to Gold Star families, which is one I haven't heard. So that will be an interesting show next week. And so make sure to come back. I'm on every Wednesday. And Karen, thanks so much for all of your contribution tonight. And I hope that we all remember guided imagery and actually do it and not say, gee, that was a great experience that night on that show with that woman, but actually a practice that we can do to put less stress and anxiety in our life, or at least dial it down, you know, when it's starting to be pumped up. So thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, the live listeners have dropped off, but good night and God bless everybody. Thank you for being here. And I'm just going to close. She actually, the words, Daniel Christian, I understand, is sick. He's called off his tour. So my thoughts and prayers are with him. But Karen said a few minutes ago the name of this song, and it's something we're always striving to do. This is Find My Voice with Daniel Christian. You can find him at danielchristianmusic.com. Thanks so much, everybody. Good night.
Question never seems to change. Are you with them or are you with us? And if it's true, I am not ashamed. There shouldn't be much to discuss. But for every answer that draws you near, there is an answer that will make you run. And as long as identity remains unclear, the coward will give the easy one. We can be automatic, carefully diplomatic. I need courage to speak my choice. Now that it's been a while since my courtyard denial, I am still trying to find my voice. I am still trying to find my voice. My brother is waiting to believe. We all love him just the same. There are gifts we both receive under the same sun and rain. I can't speak out of stillness, but I'm waiting to fill this space with courage to make my choice. How can we preach salvation from our own isolation? I am trying to find my voice. I am just trying to find my voice. Maybe we all have a role to play. Maybe this is my inauguration day. Until I speak. Finally getting used to my own skin. Never knew I would come this far. When you get too good at fitting in, it's hard to tell who you really are. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice.